Hello and welcome to our 75th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 14.4.0, upcoming WordPress 6.1 release, and what's next for 6.2, and so much more. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times, contributor to the WordPress core team and documentation team, and WordPress developer advocate. And I'm here with Anne McCarthy, WordPress product liaison for WordPress open source project and Triage co-lead for WordPress 6.1 release team. Good afternoon, Anne. How are you doing today? What are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've had extra coffee today and I'm very excited to talk about everything you have on your list. There's a lot of fun and complex things happening that really help move WordPress in a solid direction. So we have a lot to cover.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great show because it also needs to get everybody listeners, yeah, kind of over the withdrawal that you will have. Yesterday, I looked at the calendar and realized that we will be on a November break almost for the Gutenberg changelog. Work and travel and holiday schedule, it's all going to interfere with our regular programming here. So I'm glad that Anne is here as my resident expert on all things WordPress 6.2, and we can talk a little bit about the future. So, but first we have community contributions, and I found a blog post by Artemio Morales, who calls himself an electronic literature creator, and he has introduced us to his Gutenberg Interactive Fiction Engine. So what's interactive fiction? Well, it's software simulating environments in which players use text commands to control characters and influence the environment. Works in this form can be understood as literary narratives, either in the form of interactive narratives or interactive narrations. That's so far Wikipedia. When using Artemio's demo, you see at the start an image with some text and then three different links to continue that story. And depending on which link you click on, the story continues differently. So like there are two paths. You go into the forest and then you come on two paths. One goes further deeper into the forest. Guess what happens now? Or you go down to the town and see how many people you see there. So, and these are the choices, and that's how the story continues. Of course, the creator part is coming up with all those different options. And Gutenberg and the plugin that Artemio created helps you with putting the stories together. It's really an interesting concept. And so he had some ideas on what you could do with it. And then you can choose your own adventure, YouTube series, for instance, or interactive comics or audio stories with branching paths, marketing or educational content, or even multimedia posts incorporating elements from all the above. So it was also interesting for me to read about the history of interactive fiction. So yeah, check it out. We will have the links in the show notes, of course.
Yeah, I think it's such a neat thing that he's working on. And one of the things that I actually followed up with him whenever I saw that post too, because I run a side project along with a few other community members called the Museum of Block Art, where we create art with the WordPress block editor. And when he was describing and looking at the different like interactive elements, I was like, man, you could really like the whole intent of the website right now is to have it be like a virtual museum. And like, what would it look like to actually use this functionality on the Block Museum site, since it's meant to be pushing the edges of WordPress and thinking really creatively? What would it look like if the experience of the museum itself was also pushing the limits of it? Yeah. And it's already using, you know, site editing and all this sort of stuff, but this would really, I think, take it to another creative element and make it a very, in a very meta kind of way, even more cutting edge. And so yeah. I'm hopeful that we can maybe get some functionality on there and demo it with the Block Museum as part of the efforts here.
That's an interesting idea. You kind of have different walks through the museums. Yeah, It's going to be really interesting. Yeah, I also could see that maybe even be a story that is interactive narrative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fiction and that's posted as an art exhibit on it.
Yeah.
So a writer can put something. Well, there is the November challenge of the National Writing Association or so coming up. So maybe that's something to look into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the Block Museum. We had just on the Gutenberg Times, you published a submission to the Virtual Museum for of Block Art using tools and features for WordPress 6.0. What exactly are you looking for? Do you have a
So this actually ties in nicely with all of this. So part of one of the ideas for kind of the walkthrough and interactive element is when thinking about going through a museum, one of the things that I love is you're kind of walking through and you see how based on periods of time, especially in a museum with a lot of maybe not necessarily modern art, but more historical art, you see how the tooling changes and like access to paper unlocks the ability to do this or access to different materials becoming more accessible. Suddenly everyone's using a certain color or whatever it is, or they know depth perception. Like I think there's some interesting elements there. And so one of the ideas that I'm trying to work on right now is thinking about the Block Museum over a longer period of time. So, what was available in WordPress 5.9 versus let's say WordPress 6.9. Like ideally the tooling and what's possible for the creation of art evolves. And I think it'd be so neat to have release-based art exhibits. So I just set up the site super quick because it's WordPress using just a couple Cray loop blocks, which is really cool. So there's different exhibits. So there's a 5.9 exhibit, a 6.0 exhibit, and now I want to have a 6.1, especially since so many design tools are coming to WordPress 6.1. There's like kind of an explosion of them, and I'm very keen to see what that unlocks in terms of art and the submissions there. So I'm just looking for anything you want to create with the with WordPress 6.1. It can be before the release if you want to test stuff. I know the release is around the corner, and it can be anytime after leading up to 6.2. I just think it's going to be a really, this release in particular feels like it's going to unlock a lot of creativity, and I think it'll be neat to visually show that at the museum.
I think so too. And I'm really looking forward to what's coming to the WordPress to the museum as submissions, because now with the be it the border control or be it the background or the gradients and all that, there are a lot of options to apply art, apply color, apply different forms and shapes that you can build with it. And there were some great examples already in the museum. So if you are not so creative and want to see what other people do, head on over to the blockmuseum.com. It's a block-museum.
Block-museum, yeah.
Museum.
I always forget sometimes. Yeah.
So these are the two community contributions today, talking about art. I'm really excited about that because all of a sudden it's away from making money or away from oh, I need to get my blog post posted, and it's kind of or making products or something like that. So I'm really glad that we talk about it together. So what was released is the next section, and
Yeah, let's dive into that. So WordPress 6.1 release candidate 4 is actually now available for testing. This was not published on the WordPress.org news site, just kind of sometimes with release cycles, there's some additional RCs, release candidates that are released right before just to make sure different high priority bugs are addressed, but they're not as necessarily major. So in this case, I think two things were fixed. So you may not see it on the WordPress.org news, but know that it has happened and there is now an RC4. So the release squad is working super hard behind the scenes to get final pieces in place and ready for the dry run. And the final release is scheduled as a reminder for November 1st. And Hector shared details about the release day process in an earlier post if you're a nerd like me and like to know what actually happens. And if you listen to this episode over the weekend before the release, it would be amazing if you could take some time to test 6.1. Brian Alexander, who is the, I think, test team lead and also the test lead for this release, has instructions that makes this really easy to follow that will be in the show notes for helping test the different features of 6.1 and truly pick and choose whatever grabs your interest because it all helps. And I'll do a special plug for any more developer-focused folks. It would be great to test fluid typography as well as using block template parts in a classic theme. And if you want to go even further, there's a lot of stuff with filters for extending theme JSON and all sorts of things in the field guide. But I'm particularly keyed up around some of the developer features right now and getting feedback, even if it's just like maybe you don't find a bug, but you find a way that would be more useful for you in the future. It'd be great to hear.
And then definitely it holds true for the testing part. Theme and plugin developers, please, please, please see that your products are still working for WordPress 6.1. Most of you are already doing that, but there's always one out, maybe not. So I just urge you to start that. And with that, we are coming to the Gutenberg plugin release. It's 14.4.0, and I'm pointing that out because, well, this week, first time release lead Juan Margarito pushed the plugin over the finish line. And Michael Burridge, contributor also on Quan documentation, he pointed out that Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press in 1440. That's 1440. So just a little tidbit there. I like these coincidental
I love
that come
that.
together. Yeah. Mind you, it took about 144 plugin releases to come to this point. So that's also a good number.
Wild to think about, yeah.
Yeah. And before I forget, Michael Burridge is also the main creator of the newly released course on Learn.wordpress. It's called Introduction to Block Development, Build Your First Custom Block. And if you are a developer and found blog posts about getting started with block development not deep enough or too basic, you are invited to do the step-by-step tutorial on building a real-life example of a block for the editor. From setting up your development environment, using Create Block Scaffolding, that's your official tool, to testing your first iteration of the block, and also do some debugging. And as you work through the project, you will add configuration options that enable the user of your block to customize the look and feel of it and to their liking and match maybe a style guide. So this is a great course to get started with. And even if you have bits and pieces already in place, I learned a lot from it when I was going through this. So it's definitely worth looking through it.
It's so cool to see that course out there. I think it's going to be huge for so many people. So,
Yeah. And I think within the first week, 40, 50 people already took it, and three were
wow.
already through it. So it's definitely fills a need there. But I got us totally sidetracked, and I could even go more sidetracked because there's a second course in the Learn site that's an advanced course. It's about using the data layer of Gutenberg for others than the editor. So you can use it for your plugin settings pages or something like that. So how far off astray could we go with that? All right, let's get
Yeah.
back. So in the enhancements, there were two things that are developer related, and I'm just pointing them out because they might be important. One is the service-side render has now a new attribute that skipped the block support attribute. So there's a little bug in the service-side render. When it's pulled into the block editor admin feature, it duplicates the CSS. This fixes it, but it also adds another attribute to it. And this service-side render function or package actually is used by 620 plugins. So I'm giving it a shout out here right away when it actually makes it in the Gutenberg plugin, so plugin developers can test it even already before it makes it into 6.2 or something like that. It's a small change for most of them, but it might be they might tap into that before that. Yeah, and then the second part is that the great block scaffolding we just talked about, that's used in the course, allows now custom keys to be generated for the block JSON file and the package station file. So the use case that kind of triggered that was that a feature that a developer wanted to use the ACF plugin for the custom fields and use the official scaffolding tool to create a block for it. But they needed to do a lot of manual adjustments for the right keys. And so that kind of got the developers working on it. And now with the variant flag and the no plugin flag that will come in that already available, and there is a dev note out there talking about that by Ryan Welcher, you now can use also the custom key to actually build ACF blocks with the official scaffolding block. And Ryan Welcher also has a three-part series on how to build custom WordPress block that supports advanced custom fields in the on YouTube. So that gets us another sidetrack here a little bit. But even if you don't use advanced custom field plugin, in part one, Ryan also walks you through how to retrieve and update post metadata via the block editor using the use entity prop hook, and also shows you how to modify it so you can use it in the query loop block. And the field will then also display on archive pages. So if you want to start with Create Block, now is a good time to learn more about it. And even if you don't use ACF, the first video of the series will definitely be of interest for you.
Yeah, so much awesome work has been done around upgrading all these toolings to make it easier for people to get started. And Ryan's does a great job of streaming these things and making it really accessible. So yeah, and also if folks have ideas for what they want to see more, I know Ryan's always open to suggestions there too. So I hope folks dig in because there's a lot of good stuff there.
Big props also to Grzegorz Czerkowski and also Damon Cook, who's a developer advocate at WP Engine. They were both also commenting on it and also pushing this release over the finish line, over the PR, and figuring out how what the architectural approach would be. So yeah, good way to for the tooling. Yay.
Yeah, very cool. Next up, we have a couple different items that are all in the kind of block library, so expanding what's possible, or in one case, restricting what's possible. To start, the list block, which has recently been split apart so that you can actually have nested blocks within it and have inner block control. And what's neat about this is typography controls are now added to the list block. So now that you have that support in place and that each list item is an individual block, you can actually customize the list so that, maybe the first item is bigger than the third item, or you have different coloring, or you can do all sorts, like if you control each individual list item on its own and then add in typography controls. It really opens up some neat options for displaying your content. I already have like a post that I'm actually working on that I'm like, oh, I needed this. So I'm very excited to see it out here. I actually didn't see it was being worked on until this release. So it's another part of the larger effort to address and expand design tooling consistency, which is a really huge part of running the post lighting outreach program. Comes up a lot where it's like, why can I do this in one block and not this in the other block? And it kind of marries the best of both worlds where it's taking advantage of the list block being revamped to use inner blocks and including these tools. So I'm very excited to see that. I don't know, Birgit, you write a lot of posts too. Do you have anything that you're keen to use with that?
Yeah, definitely. I can see that each list item can have a different font. Yeah, or yeah, there are some nice cool fonts that you can now add to your blog post, even if you have a very neutral typography normally. So these things stand out. And then, yeah, but yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. The next thing we have is block locking, and adding it's related to block locking. It adds content locking to the navigation block, meaning the inability to edit the contents of the block. And if you'll remember right now, currently for most blocks, you actually can only lock the ability to remove the block or lock down the ability to move it. So to delete the block or to move it. And this adds content locking, which is eventually going to be expanded ideally to all blocks, to the navigation block specifically, which kind of matches the functionality, or doesn't kind of, it matches the functionality of the reusable block. So it's kind of bringing this functionality that you see that you would expect elsewhere to a really powerful, high impact part of the site. And I can see this being really useful, for example, if someone has a classic theme, they adopt a template part to have a header, and then they're adding the navigation block in there for someone to manipulate. But let's say you don't want them to actually change the contents of it. You can actually use this new locking option as an admin to lock it down, so maybe an editor can't go in there and mess things up. So it's just expanding that kind of support, and I think it's a great call out for folks who are site owners or agencies. It ties into larger efforts to offer more curation tools for the editor as well. And I'm really excited to see these experiments and to add specific locking and very intentionally to different blocks to then get feedback about how that experience is before we roll it out elsewhere. So I think there's going to be some good insights coming from that experience as well. So check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it kind of, if you look at the bigger picture of that, it almost kind of gives you similar functionality to the reusable block, but you can narrow down the content locking. So if you have patterns where you want that the content is reused over multiple pages, you can put it in a template part and the content is also locked, and then have the same call to action in the footer or in the header of things. And yeah, so it's a really good 6.1 has a few of the things already for image blocks and also group blocks, I think. But now coming it to the navigation block is really good as well.
Yeah, it's great to see. Related to more tooling, the image block is now going to have a toolbar button to add a caption. So basically, instead of it being something that, to add and remove a caption, you're able to just have it built into the block toolbar, which is a really easy way to see it at a glance. I am very intrigued to see how this lands and what feedback comes up from it. I could see it being really useful. I wonder if people are going to be able to discover it pretty easily because the icons kind of, I think it's a little bit like a couple dots at the bottom of a square. So I'm curious to see what feedback we have and what that looks like, but ultimately it should help people find the settings they expect in a readily accessible area. So yeah.
Yes.
And I know Birgit, you were telling me before we started recording that if you add a caption in the media library and then you insert an image, that it will appear automatically when you hit the add caption as well in the toolbar. So that's pretty
Well,
neat to have
it
consistency.
will automatically appear when you add the image to it, to their canvas, then it shows the caption. And but you can of course remove it, but when it's empty, you get the button up there. So you're right, discoverability might be an issue there because it's not always there. It's only there when you need it, but sometimes you don't know things that you need it if you don't see them. Yeah, so kind of and but what I really like is that it's now one of the efforts to make the editor look like the front end. And the image right now has always a little space on below for the add caption feature. And if you don't do it, it just has a little more space there and it doesn't show you the front end. It's not the same as you would see on the front end. So that's why I think people worked on it. And now we need to figure out what's the best approach on the button and the toolbar.
Agreed. Very, especially as some of the work involves around adding a captions element too. I think it's exciting to kind of see all this sort of stuff being wedded together. So.
And when they manage how that works, the image caption, then once the feedback is in and there's an iteration out there, that will be added to audio and video, and it's also to table because for whatever reason tables have a caption.
I don't know the historical reason behind that. That is interesting. Yeah, this is again one of those things where I think it's neat where we have functionality we might want to roll out more broadly, and instead it's done in steps and kind of iterating from there. So I think there's some good stuff that can come from that. Switching gears a little bit, this is kind of headed into the block editor section, and I am stoked about this feature. I have to admit that I was following this PR, so it's introducing distraction-free mode. And I was following this PR, I was looking at it. And I looked at it months ago, and I've been laser focused on 6.1. So I hadn't looked at it in a while. I hadn't used it in a while. And I was writing a post for this week, and I was testing it out, and I was absolutely blown away by this feature. So it really strips down the editor to the bare basics, where the block toolbar is gone. The top toolbar also disappears. You can bring it back on hover, and it's a mode you can toggle on and off. So I just think I'm going to be using this constantly going forward because I write in a fair amount, just rambling on my personal site, and I am definitely one of those people who doesn't use necessarily a lot of images or have like very complex content. I really do just tend to write pretty basic posts with just words, and just let it fly. And it felt so nice to be in that editor experience where you're not necessarily seeing all the plus signs everywhere. You're not needing the block toolbar. You don't need the quick inserter at all times. You don't need the top toolbar visible. I'm hardly using block settings. And instead, you can kind of just free your mind up to focus on writing. And I did a quick video because I was so excited. I mean, this was literally like 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about how good it felt. And I don't have that very often with technology. I'm pretty critical of technology. So whenever I have like that kind of feeling, I just put together a very quick, I think it's like less than 2 minute video showing the distraction-free mode. And so genuinely, this is something that like I'm very excited about. And I'm also so deep in the site editing world that I think it's really important we pause and think about the core writing experience. So this is one of those improvements that I think a lot of folks will be excited about and saying that they can explore. It's also very new, so feedback is very much needed and bugs will be found and we will iterate as open source does. But yeah, I could rant about this for probably a full hour. I don't know if you're gonna
Oh, I can. I'm there right with you. Yeah, the distraction-free mode is certainly something that I was looking into quite early when the Gutenberg editor came into WordPress. And I know that I tested and I wrote about it, the plugin that Rich Tabor and his teammate Jeffrey Carradine put together. It's called Iceberg, and that was a plugin that you could put on your site and then have distraction-free writing, and it almost felt like a typewriter, yeah, if you had the right fonts to it, yeah, and it really helped. I really loved it, and somewhere on the Gutenberg Times is certainly another is a review of it, but now it comes to core, and it's kind of I'm really excited about it. I think the feature was is driven by, of course, we all put our opinions in there, but it is driven by Andrei Dragănescu. And I had a conversation with him and said, well, we could even remove more. And so I would kind of go back to the classic editor without the toolbar. But I can see how quite a few writers will actually embrace it and use it just as their editing experience. Yeah, they go back to just writing and don't have to be bothered up paragraphs or blocks or anything of that. Yeah. So I'm really I'm excited to learn what other people think about it, and I hope they write about it and let us know.
Yeah, especially before there's a welcome feature. I think that's the only concern. I saw there's some follow-up, there's some accessibility stuff, and then there's also, wait, we need to actually tell people what this feature is, because like it is pretty, it's a jarring different when you turn it, because you're like, wait, where did
Yeah,
everything go?
where is it broken?
It's like, wait, all my tooling went away. But I think once we get some of those like refinements in place, it'll be rocking and rolling. So
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What's also made it into this release is the redesign of the main pattern inserter. And the difference is that the categories show up when you click on the inserter and then use the pattern tab. What you see is only the categories of the patterns. And then when you click on the pattern, the category, you see a preview of the patterns that are in there. And that is kind of comes also from some of the feedback that we got for patterns. And it also is, so it's kind of cool to kind of see how that works. I find that inserter be a little bit too crowded when the patterns are actually kind of underneath the category, and then I don't see all the categories and all that. So this is it's a nice experience I feel about it.
yeah,
Okay.
especially when thinking about scaling up the patterns and all the work that's being done there. I think that'll be a huge improvement to the experience of finding and managing all the different patterns that are now baked into a lot of themes.
Yeah. And the next item is just a shout out for that the embed blog has now a variation to support the Tumblr dashboard URLs. And of course, with Tumblr also coming to use the Gutenberg block editor, it's definitely good to have an embed blog that can link out to other Tumblr blogs. The next one is toggle the navigation menu sidebar. And that's an interesting development or iteration on the navigation block with using the sidebar to actually display the menus that you know from the classic menu editing. Now you have a little bit more space to look at the menus and select them. It was before it was a little bit cramped in that just in the navigation block interface. It's a little bit has more air to breathe. So check it out and see what you think about it. Have you tried it out? Anne?
No, not yet. This is part of, I truly have been so deep in 6.1 stuff. And I have tested some of the new UX management generally with the navigation stuff, but this is different. So yeah, I'm excited to test this out. It's part of one of the things I've been paying attention to for the outreach program, because once 6.1 ends, we can dig into the next call for testing.
Yeah, and then you have in the documentation settings, there are always changes that come with the release, but those changes are actually available on the block editor handbook right when they're merged, yeah, kind of 15 minutes later. But it's good to have them in the release. There are two things that I wanted to do a shout out. One is to document the current state of the layout block support. It explains in the architecture section and the style sections, how those block supports are supposed to work that come with 6.1. There's also a dev note available in the field guide, but that it has much more detail in it. And of course, we'll share the links in the show note. And also for the extending the query loop block. That is a feature that comes with 6.1 as well. And a lot of people are waiting for that, especially plugin developers and agency developers, because they deal with so many custom post types. Now they can control what the query loop is using as a query, or the data that it's using. So it's published in the block editor handbook, as well as have a developer note available in the field guide. So it's really, I'm really excited about that extension possibilities for the query block.
Yeah, I'm also, it's amazing to have that documentation in place so promptly. Like, I know we've struggled with that in the past. And so again, as always, like, if there's stuff that you're missing that you want to see, especially with query loop stuff, as you mentioned, agencies, plugin authors seem to really need that there. And I know it's a big one that folks have extended the query loop block from core. And so the hope is, rather than needing to fully extend a lot of stuff, you can like just use a variation and have what you need baked into core without having to do a lot of maintenance. So please check that out. Give us feedback. Let's make it as useful as possible.
Yeah, it's really important to kind of see what core does in a while, once in a while, even if you have used or developed for the block editor for the last 5 years, because some of the things you can take off your plate that you don't have to maintain it. It's standardized, and the Gutenberg developers and core contributors will maintain it for you, and you only need to look at your variations for that. So yeah, there are quite a few things coming, and I think it's the time now that once the foundation and the developers know how everything kind of will work together with site editor, with a post block, and also with the theme. Yeah, there was a lot of moving parts that needed to be together and come together before any extension would be feasible, or extension features or hooks and filters would be feasible to put in. And now I think it's the time where everybody's kind of thinking about how can we standardize extending the block editor. All right. Are we at the end? I think we are.
I think
at the
we
end.
Are.
Yeah. We are at the end of the changelog for the Gutenberg 14.4.0. And now, on the eve of 6.1 release, the developers have already started to look at the next version and what can an updated set tracking issues for various features that are to come. So you have been deep, knee deep, if not ear deep, into all that work. And what are the highlights that you see coming to 6.1, 6.2? Oops. 6.
Yeah, I know. I keep getting the numbers wrong, which is just hilarious. Yeah, it is so exciting to see what's going on. Like, I really feel like there's a lot of momentum. Particularly, I want to call out attention to the title of the issue is phase two customization. I'm pretty sure, yeah, the number is Gutenberg number for the GitHub repo is a 33094, in case you're a nerd and want to dig into it. But a lot of work has been done, basically, even before, way before 6.1 was out the door, once there was feature freeze, to say, okay, what are we doing next? And what can we do to actually thoroughly wrap up this phase two work, where there's a stable foundation, we can begin exploring phase three, and like, what are the main tasks to do? And so there is that main issue that I mentioned that's going to be updated on a regular basis going forward. So a lot of work has been done to pull together the phase two customization issue that will be updated basically going forward until it's closed. So I like to call it out. I know it's tough to keep on top of GitHub and everything like that, but every once in a while there are issues that, especially overview issues, if you look at the label for overview, that really gather efforts. And if you want to pay attention at a high level and be a bit more involved than necessarily just paying attention to the next WordPress release, this is one of those. And there are numerous tasks. I'm going to give a snapshot, which is what I did yesterday in a hallway hangout, of just kind of the main tasks, where things are, just because I think it's interesting. Work has been completed on two tasks. Dev work is underway on 9. We're in the design stage for 3 tasks, meaning we still need to finish finalizing some design. Dev has been assigned, but hasn't yet started the work on 3 tasks as well. Work is stuck on one thing that I'm following up on. Now, there were 3 originally and got that down to 1. And then work is stuck. Yeah, I know, I'll track this down. Work is stuck either due to a problem, like developers aren't sure to move forward, or design and development are going back and forth, or there's been a time lapse of 14 plus days. That's how I defined it, is basically like, has there been a lull in activity? And there are 11 of those that are in that state. And so part of the work right now in the next like week or so is to get that 11 number way down, get work going, get involved there. If you're interested in contributing to the project, this would be a great way to get involved. Lots of folks are gathering around this. And as you mentioned at the top, there are a couple that I want to specifically call out of things that I think will be bigger than others to solve. So one is introducing a browse mode. And we keep using the word mode, which I think is misleading for browse mode, actually. I think it's more about redefining the experience of navigating in the site editor. So both in terms of when you enter the site editor, what do you see? What's the first thing that you see? And right now you're brought into whatever is powering your homepage and you're placed basically into a template. And imagine instead you're being brought into still maybe your homepage, but the sidebar is automatically open so you can see like how to navigate between things, see templates, see your styles interface. It'll be in the same sidebar as this other stuff rather than shoved into the right-hand side, which unless you're using right to left languages, but I currently find that information architecture to be pretty confusing. So the browse mode work is both about redefining the information architecture and allowing you to actually navigate between different parts of your site that you're editing with more ease. Right now, it's pretty like you have to leave this and enter this and all that sort of stuff. And this would allow kind of more fluidity. And also, potentially in time, part of what's being done is bring back actual content editing in terms of posts and pages to the site editor experience and creating more pathways between all the different editors from the template editor, the post editor, to the site editor, all that sort of stuff. So, how can we bring this together to a cohesive experience and present it in a way that allows folks to navigate where they need and edit what they need in a way that actually is a bit more intuitive. So I'm very excited to call that out. And I don't know if you have anything to add around that.
I'm totally excited about it because I really hate going from the site editor to the post editor and have to go back, and then kind of come in again. And it looks like the same editor, but it's a little bit different, and the tools are a little bit different. So I like that this browse mode, or whatever you want to call it, will kind of unify the experience. And I know from your from the outreach programs call for testings that there's always a little bit of confusion on, are we editing now a page or a post, or is the template of a page of a post? I think there's quite a some confusion around that, and it probably won't go away because it's such a technical distinction that the visual distinction is fairly close to nothing, so you can get lost in those two editing modes. So bringing it together in at least in one section where you just kind of switch off. Okay, I'm browsing now. I'm looking at everything, and then now I click. I'm somewhere, and then I click the edit button, and then go back. It's almost like the customizer when you were using that to do some updates on the homepage with site title or changing where you also see where the places are, what you're editing, in the front end view. And I think there are quite a few hurdles to overcome with that, but I think it will make it class better than it is now, with the two modes there. I don't know if the two modes will really go away. You always can probably edit the templates, but it's definitely it will help with the confusion.
Yeah, and I think even having being able to see that you have a separate section for content versus templates, I think alone will be helpful. I think that's part of what's adding to the confusion. So I'm also very keen to test this. This is one of the top items I have in my mind for the full site outreach program. I always have like a running list of things that I pay attention to. You would not believe my GitHub notifications, but this is one of the items that I've really been waiting for and wanting to see like what we can do to get early feedback on. Because I do think it's going to be a game changer, but with anything you implement, there's going to be new problems and new confusion that arises and trade-offs. So knowing what those trade-offs are and then making sure, you know, we're able to kind of push people where most of the time they're able to get it right. That's always the aim. So yeah, that's a big one to call out in that experience.
And we'll share the issue number is 36667, just in case you want to rush to the computer and look it up. But I also see that the issue itself is almost a year old. So I'm also thinking that that was on hold to kind of finish some of the site editor functionality before you can kind of think about what would need to be in the browse mode displayed, or how would it interact with the existing stuff. So I'm glad that there is some patience there with waiting on things before it's released too soon or worked on it too soon when other things are not stable yet. But yeah, so I really like it. I'm looking forward to it and see what other people talk about it. Yeah. What else?
Ditto. Yeah. So the navigation block I have to call out, and that is a big, it's not just, I think we kind of do a disservice when we just talk about the navigation block, because it's really how do you manage navigation for the entire site and the navigation experience for the entire site. And the block is like one piece of that. And it connects to so much. And so there's a lot of work from looking at, I was talking to Johan this morning, who's a designer who works for Automattic, who's done a lot of work with the navigation block around what if instead of directly manipulating the navigation block, you actually manipulated it in the block settings? So you could actually drag and drop, and it was kind of more familiar to the old menu experience. Like, what would that look like? And kind of part of the work here is everything from that kind of stuff to how can you allow folks to have more control over the responsiveness of a navigation block item? And so there's also some technical underpinnings around using different fallbacks and making sure there's more fallbacks in place for when you're switching from a classic theme to a block theme and making that as out of the box intuitive as possible. Currently, there's like a really annoying convert to links thing that's very confusing and not user-friendly and very technical in some of the fallback situations. So there's so much work to be done there. And I just want to call that out as something that I know a lot of people bring up as a major pain point. It's something I hear about constantly. Did you know the navigation block is not easy to
Yeah.
use? And like,
Yeah, some people have other words for it, but and I totally agree.
yes. Yeah, no, and it's very interesting because I think there's a split between both, you know, people who just want one navigation menu and it's very simple and very contained. And then on the flip side, there's people who want to create a mega menu. So I hear feedback about all sorts of things, and I promise we're people working really hard to get it right. That's another thing we'll also be testing pretty extensively. And so I had to call that out. Another whole area of work as part of this wrapping up phase two is around patterns. And so I like to quote Miguel, who is another coworker, who said something like, you know, up until this point, it was like I'm going to get this wrong, I'm going to butcher it, but he said something around like, up until this point, it was all about blocks, and now going forward, so much is going to be about patterns because that's the way to really harness the power of blocks. And so a lot of stuff needs to be done around pattern categorization. We talked about the pattern inserter redesign and how that helps things be more scalable. But right now, for example, there is a category of patterns called query. What on earth does that mean?
What
Especially,
is
yeah, what is that? And especially when like that's probably going to be the most commonly used pattern because the query loop block is an advanced tool. So why patterns should fill that gap and should make it really easy to just do the basics of displaying posts. But people may not actually look into the query pattern because that it is more technical. So we need to do everything from revamping the categories to, you know, finishing up bundling the headers and footers so people, regardless of theme, have easy access to those patterns, and reevaluating even like how we show patterns from a theme versus patterns from the pattern directory and integration with the pattern directory as well. So there's a lot of work to be done there across numerous different things to really bring the power of patterns fully into the experience. So that's a huge, huge area of work.
But I think we pushed this quite far already, yeah, with the multiple ways a pattern can actually make it into the site, yeah, be in the pattern directory, be it with a theme. You can also put it in a plugin, and so yeah, I don't know. It's kind of I and it's so easy to bring something to a website that is already pre-designed. Yeah, and then kind of feels like native to your own site when it kind of follows the theme characteristics. And I think that's a strong suit from the pattern directory, that when you add them to your site, it kind of, yeah, seamlessly, and I think there's still some work to be done there, but seamlessly with your colors, with your theme settings, yeah, that it kind of picks up on that. That would be really cool. Yeah, but for that, you definitely would need more standardization on color palettes and font sizes and these kind of things. So I think it will always be mainly theme driven, the pattern part. And that's why I like that you can see the pattern now in the theme directory, of the block themes, and also for the for classic themes. If a classic theme has patterns, yeah, they also will show up in the block theme, in the theme directory. And yeah, I don't know if we talked
It's
about it.
really
Yeah, we
cool.
talked about it. I'm just worrying. There's what the speaking about the theme directory. What you also see now in the theme directory is the style variations. And when you click the style, they are now displayed underneath the screenshot. And when you click on that, the screenshot actually changed into the color settings. So it's a really neat system that the Meta team came up with. So try this out. It's the first iteration, so it might not work for all themes. It definitely works for block themes that have style variations. And if you know that a theme has style variations, but they don't show, please let the Meta team know so they can fix whatever keeps the style variations to show. It's another kind of tangent. Sorry about
It's
that.
very no, it's a great tangent because I think it's really important. It's part of, how can we show the power of the next generation of themes and actually bring that into the theme directory, because that is a weird piece of this, is evolving the theme directory as well. And it's something a lot of block theme authors have given feedback around, as well as, hey, we're doing all this work, like this theme is so much more complex, can do all these sorts of things, but it's not reflected in the theme directory. So how can we bring that in? So I think that's a really cool, which actually relates to the final thing that I know we talked about, but retaining, decoupling templates from themes and having templates be something that when you're switching themes, you can actually retain them. And right now, themes are tied to templates. So when you're switching around, they're basically quote unquote lost, or you can switch back to the theme and get it, but you have to kind of bring it with you manually. And that has been brought up for a long time. This has been raised as a flag. And I can imagine a future where you're in the theme directory, looking at a block theme, and you still see the style variations, you see the patterns, and then maybe you see the templates, and maybe you can pick and choose from each what you want to use. And so I think there's some we've done some neat explorations around, far into the future, block theme switching and combining and merging and what that looks like. Obviously, like very futuristic almost, but we're getting closer to that, and that's part of the work being done is, improving the experience of switching from classic to block, and then also in between block themes themselves. So lots of exciting stuff being done.
Yeah, and I like that we are now at the point where we kind of pivot from what we knew before, like template and themes and template parts, they're all together. And now we kind of decouple them and make it user-friendly, because you don't want to put all the work into creating a template for your posts or for your categories, and then you switch a theme and then you lose all that. So that's definitely not what a user-friendly system would be. But it also adds a little bit, if not quite a big complexity to the system, and to see what is what and where does it come from, especially when you want to debug it, and you have to figure out where did the user get this pattern, and where did the user get this template part, and how is that theme template still there? Kind of, yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens next.
Totally agree.
Thank you. Thank you so much for at least giving us a broad overview, and we will certainly share that phase two customization updated tracking issue, and keep you up to date here on the Gutenberg changelog. So this brings us to the end of the show, and this was a great way to talk about all of it. What's in WordPress, what's in Gutenberg, what's in the Vue, what's in Art and in fiction. So is there anything that you want to give a shout out to that we haven't talked about, but it's really close to your heart, or that people should know?
I have something cheesy to share, which is we're coming up on 2 years of when the first call for testing for the outreach program started. And I had a whole hangout yesterday with a group of, I think, almost like 10 folks. And I just was, and I missed people. I've been doing this for 2 years with people that, like, around the world who I haven't seen. And I just want to give a lot of props to the WordPress community for engaging with these things. And a lot of stuff has just been experimentation and figuring out what works and what doesn't, and people being vulnerable and sharing and showing up. And I just was filled with a lot of gratitude yesterday, thinking about, like, remember the first hallway hangout I ran? I think like two people came and like no one knew what it was and it didn't seem very useful. And now people come and really give a lot of time and attention. And then I missed people, and that's a really wonderful feeling. And at the end of the day, we're doing this for each other. And for the open internet. So yeah, that's just a cheesy way to end, but it just was very much on my mind thinking about like how much it really is a collective effort.
Yeah, that's an excellent way to end the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So,
And thank you for all the stuff you do too. Like these the regular Gutenberg chain log podcasts are just excellent resources for people. So it's an honor to be on here and to have a chance to nerd out with someone else rather than alone in my apartment.
yeah, well, thank you for yeah, we have been working on this together for quite a while, and yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for spending time with me today and walking us through that. So, and dear listeners, thank you so much also for listening to it, and if you want to write a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Podcaster or wherever we get it, and we would like to read it aloud here. So yeah, let other people know how you feel about a change log. It helps with the distribution. And as always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 75. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include the next time, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So thank you, dear listeners. Thanks again, Anne McCarthy. Until the next time.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.